And good morning, folks. It's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers live from the Radio Ranch. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, and greetings to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is Saturday morning, July 23rd, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's Radio Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we'll say good morning to Cowboy Charismatic Kyle.
Good morning.
And to our guest, well, Pastor could make something up. I'll just say,
is this the cappuccino coffee time?
Yeah, with good, Wranglers? Good morning, cappuccino Chris. How about that?
I'll take it.
And we're glad you could join us here around the Radio Ranch microphone live from the Radio Ranch here this 23rd of July, 2011. And before we get going too far, Kyle, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day. I thank you for this time of fellowship and getting to visit and just talking about your word, Lord, and things that are going on in the world. And we thank you most of all for your son who died for us. And also I'd like to thank you for the time that we all got to spend and got to learn from Pastor Peters. Here we are at the Radio Ranch, and this is all possible because of him and you, Lord. So we'd like to start this day off with a little bit of praise and thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. And, you know, I'm hoping maybe as the broadcast goes on, we can open up the phone lines a little bit into it. But we're still getting emails. People are still... got an email this morning before we came on to the radio microphone that people are still finding out that our dearly beloved pastor did indeed pass away back in early July. And we did send a letter out to everybody on the ministry. We've announced it from the pulpit. We've announced it here on the radio program and last Saturday morning as well. And so we are saddened, and we know that people need time to grieve. I know we've taken time to grieve and still are. But we do, as he instructed, and that is to rejoice always. We know that he ran the good race. And like that old long shot, he came up and we know where he's at now. The judgment's been faced.
I think this is a fitting verse for this morning.
Sure, Chris, go ahead.
Isaiah 41:10.
Absolutely.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. Amen. I think we were able to read that at the pastor's funeral, and one of the things that keeps reoccurring to me is that, you know, if it's just like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, you know, and it's like, if you love the pastor, apply what he taught you to your life, you know.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean that, well, I listen to him, and so, yeah, I know all that. You know, not like he said, don't, you know, there's some out there that the pastor was just their validator. You know, he was just telling them that, you know, things that they thought they already understood and knew. And so, you know, that's not who we're talking to here. We're talking to the remnant. And so if you did love the pastor, you know, if you're like me and could basically thank the pastor for leading you out of darkness, for being preaching this word and this truth, and as a result that you know, you and your family and your children are now Christians versus who knows what, you know, we sure thank Jesus Christ, but he uses his tools. He has his pastors and teachers, and Pastor Peter's sure a great one, and continues to be, because he had the foresight to have, you know, his sermons and messages recorded. Many of the pamphlets and many of the sermons, you know, either started as pamphlets or came back as pamphlets and books. And I don't even have a good count of how many books and pamphlets he has. I know it's dozens and dozens. And you know, but it's good that those things live on. But,
well, Richard, Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear. But for those that are listening, Isaiah 41:24, to give you just an idea of God's heart sometimes, behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. So, which side of this are you going to be on? You know, those that don't serve the Lord, that go after their own ways like so many people in this world, I hate to have the Lord tell me, behold, you are of no account.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too good. But you're standing on Judgment Day, and that's the word that comes down. Yeah, you might sink a little bit.
Well, the scariest verse, early on in my Christian walk, I was reading the Bible, and it's Matthew, I think, 7:21. Lord, did we not do miracles in your name? Do we not cast out demons? Do we not heal the sick? And Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, what really scared me, I wasn't doing any of that stuff. And these people were, and they got told to leave. So I said, I'm getting in this word. Because, you know, imagine that day, if you've walked your whole life, and you were arrogant enough to think you're getting it all right, and then on that judgment day, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah, that is not a place you want to be, folks. That's for sure. And if you're not sure that God won't say that to you, then you can be sure. You can be sure. You can be sure that you're clothed with Christ.
There's good news out there, right?
There is good news out there. You tell them about the good news. I'm going to drink coffee for a minute. Tell them about the good news.
The good news, of course, is you want to look it up. It's in Acts, you know, and it all started with those people that believed that Jesus was the Son of God and was crucified and rose from the grave. And they asked the Apostle Peter, what shall we do? And the Apostle Peter gave him good news. He said, well, first of all, repent.
Yeah, and again, these were already
sprinkled.
Believers.
it wasn't actually be sprinkled.
It wasn't sprinkled?
It wasn't. It wasn't a hose either.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
Repent and be prayed over.
Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then he said, and, you know, there's a promise that goes along with that, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection, how we can apply it to our life, which is the good news. And it is great news. And that was Apostle Peter. Well, Pastor Peter's was the best that I've ever heard at giving people the good news and bringing people and changing them from the error of their life, like Richard was saying a little while ago. I don't know where I would be. without that good news, you know. And Pastor Peters was the mouthpiece that I heard on the radio quite a few years ago, and he was the mouthpiece that I heard tell many people how to change the ways of their life and get on board and get the good news and apply it.
Well, Kyle, last year in Branson, I did the message on the Book of Acts, and I called the message the Book of Action. And I did a Peter J. Peters with this verse where it says, you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Or I forget exactly how I did it, but the point was, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you receive a gift, I could buy you 1,000 Christmas gifts, and if you don't open them,
that's true, they're going to do you no good. So this gift has been given to you. What are you going to do with this gift of the Holy Spirit?
Are you going to actually use it? Are you going to open it? You're going to find out how the Lord wanted you to function within that gift?
Well, that would be the proper way to do it, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. You know, many people think that once they find Christianity, you know, once they find a church, or once they find...
or walk down that aisle,
you know,
and deal with that altar.
Yeah, yeah, once they do that, that's it. Okay, I'm done. Now, I've taken care of that part of my life. Like, I've gotten married, I've had children, I've gotten a good job. You know, I've taken care of that part. Now I can just do whatever I want to do. And, you know, that's not the end. That's the beginning. You know, it's just the beginning. It's like, yeah, that's when you get to open that gift. You know, but it's not just... you know, it's not just a gift, a little thing to put up on your mantelpiece.
Which reminds me of the parable. You know, if you got a light, are you going to hide it under a bushel? You know, you're going to let it show. You're going to let the whole world know that you have that light.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I've been telling people lately is that if you truly repent and you're baptized, and after that, everything in your life gets better, you might not be a Christian.
That's true.
Because you're going to be tried. Satan's going to finally turn and look at you and go, hey, what happened? Who let this guy repent?
Yeah.
Okay, you demons, go attack this guy.
Yep.
You know, get his children out of order. You know, tweak his wife. You know, blow that motor up in that car. Do something to get this guy out of that place with the Lord, because we don't want him there.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not grounded, even if you're not trying to read the Scripture, you don't understand that that's going to happen. You don't understand what it says in Ephesians, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. You know, those were the things that the apostles had to fight against in people, the influence that the spiritual forces of darkness had with, you know, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the different people that they had to combat. And it's no different today. Yeah, if you think you're going to, you know, become a Christian, and, you know, of course, most of those people are listening to the Rick Warrens and the, you know, the Good News Prosperity Gospel.
And the Creep of a Dollar, if you send me $100, yeah, I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah. And you know, it's just, that's not the way it is. You don't need those type things. What have you heard for the last 30 years from this ministry? Read the Word.
Yeah.
Read the Word. And, you know, you look at the pastor's style of preaching and teaching, and it was from the Bible. You know, people would write in, and a lot of times that was what captivated them. That was what got their attention, is that he wasn't just babbling on and on, but he was reading from the Scripture.
The one thing I remember early on when I first got this program, you know, I'd heard other preachers, and they would use one verse and preach for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Pastor Peters would use 40 or 50 verses, yeah, you know, one right after another, backing it up. You know, let me show you here, let me show you here, let me right show you here.
And right, you wouldn't have to interpret the word the for 10 or 15
or
minutes.
Or four.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was very evident. And see, that's how the Bible is. The Bible explains itself. If you use Bible terms to describe the Bible, it's not that you need all these different, you know, interpretations and all these different things. You know, if you're just starting out, you know, folks, with as a new Christian, or you have questions or whatever, we would suggest, it's one of the Bibles that the pastor always used that he liked, and it's a New American Standard Bible. We have a few of them. We have a nice little paperback, a $10 paperback, and But that's not the only Bible you have to use, and it's not that that's the only Bible you can use. Many people are very comfortable with King James. You know,
I use the King James because that's what I grew up with.
Absolutely.
You know? I'm familiar with it. Right. So I think I can find scriptures a little bit easier. You know, my concordance is that I use, you know, basically my whole life is a King James concordance, and I have markings in there. So it's hard for me to go. Now I love the New American Standard because it's more modern day language. You know. But, you know, I kind of used what I was used to.
If it was good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for you, Kyle.
Well, you know, you contrast that, folks, with there's some of the, we call them King Jamesers out there, or King James onlyers out there. And they will just repeat back what their grandpa told them, or what their uncle, or what the man in the church told them, or whatever. They do no research. They don't look into it. They just, the King James is the Word of God, brother, and that's it. Every other translation. And
did you know that the King James had 32 revisions before the king would approve it?
Well, let's apply the King James to modern day. If that were going on today, do you know what that Bible would be called? The President Obama Bible.
Yeah.
That's it. Just think about that.
The Obama Change Bible.
It would be the President Obama authorized Bible. Now, you think about that. Now, in the time, now, do you think King James, back in those days, you know, he...
1611, that was the first one, right?
Yeah, that's when they got it printed. Now, I would bet that King James was a bit more righteous than Obama.
Yeah, I would think so.
But, okay.
You think?
But, do you think that there weren't still
the
problems then, you know? And if you look at where the King James came from, it basically was, if I understand it right, it was the Geneva Bible, which had all the footnotes. About how, you know, and the footnotes had been there for hundreds of years. Hundreds, if not a thousand years, that the footnotes had been added to. And you know, many of the footnotes were how, not only references, but how you applied the Bible to daily and to civil life and civil government. And see, King James took all that away because he said, no, I'll tell you how to apply it to civil life and civil government.
Did you know that in the introduction of the original King James, 1611, you know, I've got one of the reproductions, it suggests that to get a full understanding of this book, you should read other interpretations.
Yes.
Or other translations.
Other translations, yes.
Not interpretations.
Yes. Absolutely. The King James was made from the Masoretic text, where you also have the Texas text or... You know, but
in the Vulgate.
The Vulgate. You have the Septuagint part of the Old Testament that's, you know, and so, folks, what we're saying is that, you know, if anybody says, well, this is just, you can only use the King James, just...
I've heard them say that if you use any other version other than the King James, you're going to hell, period.
Yeah, I've heard that philosophy. Well, back up a little bit. We're talking about Christians, you know, maybe having to suffer a little bit. We are not greater than our master. The Word of God says that. And the Word of God says when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, that the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, which is the promise that we got, that we read or quoted out of Acts. You know? Well, then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And what happened there? He was tested. The same test that we all take. You know, I mean, it might have been more severe, it might have been less severe than some, but he was tested in many ways. And you can read about the tests, you know. And, you look back on your Christian walk and you know, from the time you get baptized till the time you die, this is what I'm imagining is you're going to look back and you're going to go, boy, I can see where I was tested there. I can see where I was tested there, you know, whether it's through your children, whether it's through... You know, money. Well, I mean, however your test is, you know, we're all going to have tests. And if you think, like Richard and Chris have said, if you think it's a cakewalk, you got the wrong religion.
What happens is if you really are converted, if you really are changed, when those tests come upon you, you have a witness in your spirit and a peace that passes all understanding. And, you know, you just... in that place with the Lord, and you might be questioning because you're a new Christian, even us older Christians will do it, Lord, why is this happening to me, Lord? But still, when you get before Him at night or in the morning, when in your prayer time, which is so important, spend that time in prayer, you get that peace, and you just, you know it's going to work out. And if you've got a God that you can understand, like Pastor's pointed out, you've got a God that's less than you. So what is it that he's teaching you in and training you in? How many of us are better after those trials that we would have rather not gone through, but after the trial, we would not trade it for anything?
Right, right. And I'll take you to Ephesians as well. In Ephesians, what, 4 or is it 4 or 6, it talks about, you know, putting on the full armor of God. He gives you the tools you need. You know, he gives you the armor that you need. He gives you the opportunity to put it on, to wear it, to have the things that you need. He gives you the word where you can go back and read how maybe King David himself went through that type of trial, you know, or one of the prophets, or, you know, or the apostles themselves, how, you know, they were tried, you know. You find yourself in a position where you're you know, maybe not sharing Christ with non-believers like you should be, or like you have the opportunity to. You can go back and read that, you know, Peter himself denied Christ 3 times. You know, right after, you know, saying, of course, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. You know, and so...
I would die before I...
Absolutely. And so, you know, we have the Word as our teacher. We have the Word as our comfort. You know, when you know that there's others just like you in your position, in your stature, in your walk, that either have gone through the same trials that you're going through, or are going through them at the same time, there's a huge comfort there, and there's a strength that you can draw from, and that's what we're to do.
Yep. Well, putting on the full armor of God every day is very important. I mean, it doesn't say that the fiery darts, you know, will only be shot at a few of us, you know.
But that armor too, Kyle, is, you know, I've heard people, and they pray it, and they just think that the praying it will do, but it's the actual practicing of it during that day. That
sure.
Helmet of salvation. I believe I'm saved all day long. You know, that shield of faith.
Right.
When something happens, you got that shield of faith. Hey, I'm protected.
And shodding your feet in the gospel of peace. You know, we are to be at peace. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to practice it. Because just... like was mentioned earlier, when you say, okay, yes, Lord, I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you go on and amen.
And then you're troubled all day long.
And then the day goes on, and, you know, somebody comes up and says something you don't like, and the situation arises that you don't like, and you start getting upset about it. And, you know, there's maybe an unseen third party that's causing problems between you and somebody else. And before you know it, your blood pressure's going up, and your eyes are getting blurry, and you're just clenching your fist, and you're not at peace. And that's when you have to take your thoughts captive, right? And you have to say, wait a minute. Don't we serve a God that works all things for good for those that love Him? Yeah. Didn't we pray on that armor of peace this morning? Yeah. Then you have to apply it. And that kind of brings me back to what we started this with, is we've learned these things from our pastor. We've learned these things through the teaching that he's done, through the direction he's been given from the Holy Spirit. We have to apply them in our lives. You know, now more than ever, it's time to apply them.
And we've got to pass it on.
We do.
And gird on our loins of truth, what we're doing right now. You know, we're trying to discuss what the Word of God says.
Right, you know? Right. And it is truth. You know, you heard the pastor say it, that, you know, the Word says, by His stripes I am healed. So guess what? By His stripes we are healed. It's as simple as that. You know, it's in keeping with God's Word. It's in keeping with God's will. It's like the old black and white TV show, Father Knows Best. You know, I think that was the most popular TV show, you know, during its day. Father Knows Best. Because at that time, what, 2 generations ago, the people understood that. They still had that basic understanding in their life, in the physical, but I think also in the spiritual. And you know, you sure won't see something like that today. You know, the shows they're trying to put on today are Christian, you know, things.
Well,
Christian female dogs are what they try to put on today.
Actually, they'll go the opposite way, and children know best, because, you know, they'll make the dad, who seems like a square, be a bad thing, which square used to be a good thing, you know. You know, it's complete opposite. Now if you're liberal and you got all these points of view, you know, where basically y'all get to heaven, you know, no matter what you call the name of your God type type of philosophy. You know, you see the bumper stickers with every religious symbol on it. You know,
I hate
all
those.
All stuck together, you know.
Oh, you see the coexist.
Yeah.
And, of course, the cross is the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, that's just not, it sounds good. It's like this, you know, Hopi change thing that's working on, that's getting, you know, pushed across the country right now. Still, I like that bumper sticker. You know, how's that Hopi change thing working out for you? It sounds good, you know, but that's just, what is it the pastor would say? You know, you love them now, but how's it going to be at the end of that? You know, what do you think is going to happen at the end of it? So, well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to, hopefully you're joining us for coffee, but it's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, broadcasting to you live this Saturday morning, 23rd of July, right from the Radio Ranch in Laramie, Wyoming, sitting around having a cup of coffee, Charismatic Kyle, Cappuccino Chris, and this is Radio Ranch Richard. We've got Just Jason is working on a couple of projects. One thing that we are doing starting tomorrow at church is we're changing our broadcast stream. I think we're moving over to like a flash player is the name of it. If you're computer savvy, you can look at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. It's got a free download of that flash player if you don't have it. But if I understand it correctly, it should allow us to transmit a better quality for the stream at a smaller bit rate. So to those of you that understand that good, that's just what I read on what our broadcast guy gave us. But we're starting that tomorrow, and so we do hope you can join us. You know, we really put out a lot that real men don't go to church, but you can, as a real man, go to the LaPorte Church of Christ. And if you can't join us in person, you can go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you can click on there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mountain Time. That's 11 Central, and you can sleep in on the East Coast and pick it up at noon and see the church service. And then that message also will go out on DVD Church. And so we just wanted to let you know that we do have that coming tomorrow.
Real men don't go to church. And I've been telling people, real men don't go to church. Real men are the church.
Good point.
One of the first things they want to do is take away your manhood when you get to these churches by teaching you this lovey-dovey, everybody, if someone rapes your daughter, you're still to love them.
Yeah,
type thing.
Well, first of all, they perverted the word church and made you think it was a building, you know. And then, you know, well, my church. Well, you know, no. If you're a Christian, you, like you just said, you are part of the church, which is the body of Christ. You know, so that kind of starts it off in kind of a division type, you know, atmosphere. You know, I mean, to where you know, almost, well, I go to the right church.
I go to the First Baptist down on the corner.
Right.
It was the original church in town. My mama went there. My grandma went there. I'm going there. You know, talking about the love a while ago, and it says that verse in Matthew, I never knew you. In a lot of the descriptions, particularly in the Old Testament, when God describes the relationship he wants with you, I knew you, he describes it as a husband and a wife in the honeymoon tent.
There's no intimacy. An intimacy with God is right.
And when you look at it in that context, it makes the whoredom that this country has become in Christianity clear. Because when you go after whoredom, you're just going after a feeling. You don't want that Monday responsibility that comes with that knowing someone, that intimate relationship. You just want the feeling. So a lot of these, I call them worship whorehouses on Sunday morning. They're just there for that feeling. Let me get my hands in the air. Let me feel the music. Let me be with my friends. Let me feel good. And then Monday, God who? Jesus who?
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, folks, I got a song here keyed up, and maybe we'll talk about it afterwards, but it's from our guest today, Chris. It's one he did, maybe a year or two ago, but I like it, so I'm going to play it since I'm sitting over here at the rack. And it's about liberty. And, you know, we hear about liberty and justice for all. That used to be something that we talked about in our schools, back when the schools used to be able to pray to God. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we sure don't seem to have that in the nation anymore. We'll be right back.
My heart is heavy for these words I must pen, as the America of my fathers ended in sin. I must shout this warning that all will be lost. Christians don't stand now and turn to the cross. When it's taken my liberty worth losing your life, it's taken my gun worth widowing your wife. Will your children be fatherless? Will your mom and dad weep? Because you violated the land of the free. Liberty's not a parchment in a museum, not words on a flag for people to read home. It's on the heart where Jesus Christ lives, in a nation founded by promise of peace. Your numbers are greater, your weapons pronounced. Smile or airwaves, new laws you write down. But God's laws are written on some of our hearts. The battle is His if you're ready to start. Homeland Security, IDs, camps, and vaccines. United Nations and agencies and new world order dreams. The colonists of America will turn in their grave for the liberty we've lost from the lives they gave. They didn't find, so I'd have to carry your ID. So you can set up roadblocks to force vaccinate me. Or for our men to die in ungodly wars. Know your thousands of laws for the Babylon whore. Your government's corrupt from the top to the bottom. Democrat or Republican at their core, they're all rotten. Sin in America has brought it all on. But it's time you decide whose side you'll be on. When he is taking my liberty, worth losing your life. He's taking my gun, worth widowing your wife. You may try to starve us or bring on a plague, but I'll stand with the King and the promise He's made. Your preachers preach falsely, Romans 13. Real men in most churches would never be seen. Repent of your sin and pray for God's truth and for godly men to rise up to protect you. Their armies will march to eject poison and lies. They'll let you live in your spirit you let die. Because you've honored the wicked and the evil you bless. Now, America, your sins have come home to rest. Open your eyes and clean out your ears. Look at this nation for the truth as to hear. The Antichrist has taken control. Will you lose your nation? Will you lose your soul? When he's taking my liberty worth losing your life, he's taking my gun worth widowing your wife. Repent and draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul can be saved as well as your life. If it's alright for granddad the socialist to fight, and our dads and our uncles killing communists is right, I don't reckon it matters which land they stand on, here or abroad. If it's wrong, then it's wrong. Consider your orders. You say you're just doing your job. There's a line and I pray you don't cross. I'll shout like King David, the battle's Lord's. One stone's all I need to take your head and your sword. I'll win either way if I stand for what's right. You can't kill me, the Lord has my life. Before you come against this temple of His, you better consider where eternity will live. When it's taking my liberty worth losing your life, it's taking my gun worth widowing your wife. Will your children be fatherless? Will your mom and dad weep? Because you violated the land of free. Liberty's not a parchment in a museum, not words on a flag for people just to read them. It's on the heart where Jesus Christ lives, in a nation founded by promise of peace. Numbers are greater, your weapons pronounced. It's my older airwaves, the new laws you write down. Just doing my job won't be a defense. You better decide now why it's time to repent. because God's law still ran on some of our hearts. The battle is his if you're ready to start. It doesn't have to happen if you turn to the Lord. He'll restore our nation to greatness once more. Cause I don't want to see you lose your life. I don't want to see a widowed wife. I want your children to be happy and play in streets. In a land serving Jesus with peace, liberty. In a land serving Jesus in peace and liberty.
Well, like the words of that song say, in the land of
serving Jesus in peace and liberty.
Peace and liberty. Are you at peace, people? Do you have liberty? Do you think anybody been to the court system lately? You know if you got liberty or not.
Anyone gone through an airport lately?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But are you at peace? Are you at peace? No, it's because you don't serve Jesus Christ. Allah doesn't bring you peace. That coexist doesn't bring you peace. Serving these false gods and turning your back on the Word of God when He gave us this nation and gave us His only begotten Son to save us.
Where my wife passed away.
Not going to bring you peace.
I had to go to the courthouse to handle some things. It was like going to the airport. The bins that you put everything in, you scan from head to foot, to go into a county clerk's office.
Yeah, that's the way it is. And it's because we've turned our back on Him, folks. It's because we've turned our back on Him. So we would tell you, like the apostle told you years ago, it's written down, and like Peter would tell you, repent. Repent and be baptized. If you need to know how to do that, you can go to our website. There's still some data up there. I think a Bible story is there, the greatest love story never told, the greatest discovery. Repent and be baptized. Go and read and look those, and look at those pamphlets that are up there and read and see straight from the Bible what it tells you that you must do. Don't when you face Jesus Christ and God Almighty on Judgment Day, don't hear what you heard earlier today. Depart from me, I never knew you. That's not going to be a good thing, you know, not at all. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines and change directions here a little bit. If you do want to call in, we are broadcasting to you live this 23rd of July. The phone number, 307-745-5913. We'll just set it where it'll answer if you call, and we'll do our best to get you on the radio if you do want to call in and have anything. One of the projects that the pastor was working on very hard and did get started up and running is Bible Worldwide. And, Kyle, you've got a scripture verse that kind of describes that there in Mark, don't you?
I do. It's Jesus speaking to the 11 after he rose from the dead. First, he kind of rebuked them for not believing those that seen him, but we'll take it up in verse 15 of chapter 16. He goes, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In thy name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So that is the Great Commission, and that's what they were told to do, and that's what they did.
Amen. And you know, throughout history, you don't hear about it a lot in the history books anymore, because the people that have been victorious over God's people write the history books now. But you look at what people have fulfilled, as much as it has been fulfilled today, the Great Commission. You know, I'm sorry, but the Chinese have not done that. And the Zulus, the great and wondrous feather-headed Zulus...
There aren't Zulu missionaries in Laramie?
...have not done that. And, you know, the Jews, the Israelites, have not done that. Who? What people? Again, we're trying to get you to think, people. Okay? What people have fulfilled, although the Great Commission hasn't been fulfilled... as much as possible, have fulfilled that. And it has been the Caucasian people of the world. The Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people. We understand that. The Great Commission, to go and preach it to all creation, to every creature. And that is, you know, it ties in to the frequency that happens when God's word is spoken. Chris and I were talking earlier this week that, you know, you think about what happened in this nation when every school day in the morning, every school child in America was praying.
The Lord's Prayer.
At least the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And you know, that sets a frequency up. It sets a tone. It does those type things. So, with all that said, that was one of the projects that was really on the pastor's heart, was to broadcast the Word of God, just the simple, spoken King James Word of God out into all the world. And that's what Project, it's now just called Bible Worldwide. It's what it does. We're building the site, BibleWorldwide.org, I believe is what it is. It's not complete, but you can go there and see it starting. It is on frequency, on shortwave frequency, and it is aimed, and it does go all around the world, but it's frequency 12.10.
Is that 24 hours, that same frequency?
12.10, 24 hours a day. And what they're able to do is the shortwave people at the WTW radio station have it geared so that, you know, in certain times, it plays certain languages. Because they know that the reception's better in England at a certain time. But then at that same frequency over in the Middle Eastern countries, you know, where they speak Bedouin or whatever it is, that, you know, 4 hours later, that signal is very strong there for about 4 hours. And then a few hours later over in China. And so they have that all mapped out. We right now are broadcasting the Word of God in seven different languages throughout the country.
Why is it that
the world,
someone as racist as we are would send the Word of God out in seven different languages, Richard?
Because
I'm confused.
Because,
tell me.
Exactly. Because that's what the Word of God says to do. It says to preach the gospel to all creation. So we are doing the best we can to do that. Now, you know, that shortwave time is not free. It is not even cheap. Shortwave transmitters are not free or cheap. You would not believe just the power bill per month to run that transmitter. If you knew what it was, you would say, no, that's ridiculous. There's no way. But,
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Richard, but these missionaries that go out to Mexico and wherever they go, but Mexico seems to be the one I hear the most from all these churches, they go down to these places and they do what the world calls good things. They build them schools or houses or whatever.
Wells.
And they give them sandwiches while they're there. You know, and maybe things that they don't normally get, because these countries or these areas they go in are third world countries. They're poor, you know.
And they're across the border from us.
Right, they're across the border from us, yeah. And these people come back, I've known a few of them, they come back and they think that they've obeyed Mark 16. But they haven't. They didn't baptize them, they didn't teach them about the signs. Yeah, they told them a little bit about Jesus, but really it was all about them. You know,
yeah.
We're Christians, and we're helping you out.
And this is what we do, and Jesus loves you.
Yeah, and the people didn't get the word at all.
They're vacationaries.
Yeah, and of course they're going to say, "Oh, we believe in Jesus. You know, give us that sandwich."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going to do that. You know?
The one thing the church that I used to associate with a bit back in the East Coast, come back with all these pictures, and he told stories of how, you know, they built his church for them. They would buy Pepsis because the kids couldn't afford a Pepsi, and they'd all sit around in front of the store and drink Pepsis in the evening. But there was no testimony of someone being converted or baptized or Bibles, you know, being read and studied. You know, they would do the obligatory Lord's Prayer, the obligatory bless you. But it's a vacationary or a mission vacation. That's when I really saw what it was.
Well, one thing that we're doing with Bible Worldwide is we're working here hopefully in the next few weeks. We hope by the end of August that we have a pamphlet and a DVD, an informational type thing that we can send out to you. We're sure going to do our best to get that together so that you can take it to your local church and you can say, hey, you know, look, here's an I don't even want to say non-denominational, because it's really an interdenominational, non-denominational type of outreach. It's just the reading of the Word.
No false teachings.
To the entire world in a language they can hear and understand.
No false doctrines.
Right. It's
no
right.
No false prophets.
It's right out of the. It's just the reading of the word, and so it's a it is a great opportunity for other churches, for maybe homeschool groups or whatever, to be a part of. You know, to be able to come in and sponsor an hour or two of the reading of the word. I think we put it out in the last newsletter or two, a couple newsletters earlier this year, the languages, but I know it's English, it's Spanish, I think it's Portuguese, maybe Chinese, Mandarin, something, whatever they speak over in the Middle East, because it, you know, it goes over there, and maybe Chinese. But it's seven different languages right now. Sure hope to be able to expand it out.
So that'd be 3 hours at a time?
It's about 3 to 4 hours at a time based on, yeah, the radio station.
There's only 24 hours in a day. It right. pretty much has to be 3 hours.
I calculated one time, if you listen to the Bible for 1 hour a day on audio, what was it? It took 45 days to hear the whole Bible. So at 3 hours a day, these people can hear the entire Word of God in 30 days or less. Yeah. On a rotating basis. And one of my points with this that I've made to people is that if you believe the Word and that God's Word does not return void, and that if God's Word is there, there is fruit, then these people, when they hear that Word and they start accepting it and absorbing it, then we don't have to go build them houses because the Lord's going to provide. And He might send someone, but we don't have to worry about feeding them, because when they absorb that Word and they become Christians, then the Lord's going to turn and say, here, these are followers, believers, let's feed them.
Right.
And that, He'll make a way. Their neighborhoods will change. Their countries will change.
Was Abraham not given a promise and told that he would be a blessing to just a certain people? Or was he told him and his descendants would be a blessing to the entire world?
Yes.
And that is our calling. That is the precept for the Great Commission.
And Jesus Christ purchased the world.
Right. Purchased the entire world. And so, folks, we understand. We sure understand, and we'll continue and stand fully on the Anglo-Israel message. We understand who the lost sheep of the house of Israel are. We understand that. We also understand that, guess what? There's lost sheep in Tasmania, down south of Australia.
I thought there was just devils down there. Tasmanian devils.
When you talk to Art, he'll tell you there's devils down there. But, you know, Art, if you're listening, we say good morning to you down there. And it's actually good afternoon tomorrow already there or something. But, you know, but we have our people all over.
Yeah.
You know, we have our people in New Zealand. We have our people in South Africa. We have our people in Brazil. We have our people in Canada and in Mexico and in every other, the European nations, in Germany and in Russia, in the Soviet, well, it's not Soviet Union anymore, but in Russia, and, you know, all those kind of stands, Kazakhstan and all those. We have our people all over. And so, in addition to getting this word out to our people all over the world, it fulfills that Great Commission. It fulfills that promise to Abraham to be a blessing to the entire world.
And what I try to tell people, and, you know, they still want to think that we're saying that, oh, only we can be saved. If you can grasp who Jesus Christ was, if you can be covered by the blood, if you can repent and be baptized and absorb that which the Lord has given you, you're a Christian.
Well, yeah, well, don't want to get into philosophies and different ones,
but the pastors brought out in years past, you know, which some of our people had a problem with this because they like to think that they're the only ones, but there's a difference between redeemed and saved.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
And you really, I never understood that growing up. You know, when I'd read redeemed, I thought it meant the same thing as saved, and saved meant the same thing. But there's a difference, you know. He came to redeem His people. But like Chris said a while ago, he purchased the whole world so that He could get that his
field.
Treasure out of
yes.
it. But He still purchased the whole world.
Yes.
You know, and you can't ignore that part. Yes, there is a buried treasure in the world that He came for. You know, but we can't act like He didn't purchase the whole world when He did. You know,
right? And the whole world needs the Word of God. It yeah. doesn't. The entire world. The Zulus need it. The Chinese need it. The Japanese need it. Our people in Australia need it. Our people in Russia need it. You know.
But because we are not following the Word of the Lord, as he would have us follow.
As a people.
These other
as a
people, people, these other people, these other nations are not as blessed
right.
as they could be
right.
if we were walking righteous with the Lord. If we were walking righteous with the Lord, we'd have such abundance in wealth, in every area of our life, in every area of knowledge, that we could help and change the world.
Absolutely.
It's the same philosophy about order in the home. You know, I've heard people say about the pastor, well, he hates women. No, he loves women. He loves them so much, he wants them to keep in their place. You know?
Because they're the most powerful of God's creations. They can tear things down, or they can build things up with that sincere prayer, that tender heart before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys know it. If you got a wife in order, you can't deny her anything. Honey, I like that. And boy, you start thinking, what can I do to get that for her?
Yep.
Richard's shaking his head. He won't say it aloud.
No, absolutely. It absolutely is. And Kyle, your point's right there. It absolutely is. It is that way. If there's order in the home, and how many times do we get calls from men that, you know, their home's out of order, but, you know, I can just sense that, you know, they're out of order. They're out of order, and that's why, you know, they want things to be in order from them down, but they don't want things in order to be from them up. And I think we're right there the same way as a nation. You know, we want everything to be good and America to be great and be kind of, you know, the shining light for everybody. But we don't understand that for that to happen, America's got to be in order, and America's out of order.
Right.
America's absolutely out of order. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you on the Saint-sponsored network. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is the network that we have. We have a website that these messages are archived at, and that is www.sfawbn.com. That's sfawbn.com. These messages, along with the other programs that we have, Solutions and God's Home Healthcare and the McCanny Science Hour and our Armchair Survivalist, I think, is on, what, Sunday afternoons. And all those messages are archived there at the network site, SFAWBN. We do keep operating and keep getting the bills paid because the faithful remnant is out there. And they support us with their tithes and offerings. And know that just as the pastor would pray that Malachi 3 prayer, on those that support us, we continue to do that. If you haven't read Malachi 3, you really should. It's, I believe, the only place in the Bible where God says to test him. And
in tithes and offerings.
And if you haven't read it, it's an interesting read. You can read it. You can sit down and just read it. Malachi, that's the Old Testament. If you haven't read it, you need to. But the faithful remnant, the support that they have given and continue to give, enables things like this broadcast to go out. Enables things like what we call the Good News Gospel. And that's the reading of the Word that goes out on our local
prison ministry
on the shortwave. The Good News Gospel plays the on Monday through Thursday, the hour right after the live hour. And the broadcasts go out on shortwave. The two shortwave frequencies we have are, of course, 9.480. And those are basically daytime frequencies. And then 5755 are the nighttime and overnight frequencies. The complete schedule is on our website, scripturesforamerica.org. We also included in our Dragon Slayer. We are working with on Dragon Slayer Volume 7. We hope to start printing that Monday. And that basically will be a memorial to the pastor. But the shortwave schedule is in that. If you don't get our newsletter, Dragon Slayer newsletter, we do send it out free of charge. It's not free to send it out. It's not free to take a week to print it or take a week to put it together, but we do freely give it out. If you'd like to get that Dragon Slayer newsletter, you can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. You can also request it at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And we just appreciate all the support,
Richard,
that has continued to have been offered up by the faithful saints.
One point I want to make is that, you know, you may never preach a sermon. You may never baptize anybody. You may never stand before a crowd and witness and have people converted. But when you support a ministry that does, I truly believe that God records in heaven that when a ministry changes a person's life or is responsible for them baptizing someone, the Lord does a little mark on your account and says, this person helped save a soul, helped save a person for eternity.
Good point. No, I mean, at the memorial radio service I brought out at the beginning that, you know, Pastor Peters helped save souls. I mean, obviously Jesus Christ saved souls. But Pastor Peters turned people from the error of their way, and he helped save souls, and the Word of God says that that act of charity, that act of love, hides a multitude of sins. So like you said, Chris, you know, there might be a check up there, you know, in the book of good and evil, and it might say, well, this guy helps hide a multitude of sins. You know,
and wow, what a mark. Of us don't have a multitude of sins that we would like to have covered.
Yeah. So, you know, you take somebody like Pastor Peters, who had countless check marks next to his name for that purpose. Boy, you know, that would be a good thing to say at the end of your race, that, man, you know, I got all these sins that I've had in my life. Look at all these check marks. It just wipe those things out, you know. And then he probably had, you know, who knows.
And the sin's already wiped out by the blood.
It is.
Right. But we're talking about here for covers a multitude of sins.
That's what the Word says. It says that it covers that charity, that love, covers a multitude of sin.
Yeah.
And how do you show that? How do you share that? And it's supporting is one way that you do it. You make a good point, Chris. You don't always... you know, especially to the scattered remnant that's out there. You know, we used to be that way. I think we you know, Chris still is. He just gets to visit so often. And, you know, Kyle and I have been out here at the ranch for a little bit. But we came up in that as part of that scattered remnant. And we know what it's like to be out there, to not have the fellowship, to not have the opportunity. You know, this ministry tries to put the tools out, put the tools in your hand to lead others to Christ, just like this project, this Bible Worldwide, and the things that we have. So... Well, you know, it's just like, you know, we see the phone line starting to ring and we're out of town. But that's the way it goes.
That's the way it always works.
Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to go out with one of the pastor's favorite songs. Listen to the words. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks. And we'll see you tomorrow at church. Thanks, men.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh, this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and stand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake eyes. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.